Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From the home of time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team.
Woo! This is Charlton Live.
Good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me in the studio here at the Valley as we get set to look ahead to Saturday's home game with Walsall is Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream. Friday tomorrow, yeah. Or yesterday or next week, whenever you download the podcast, I suppose.
So you can't really state days.
No, I was going to say that. Yeah.
Could have been Friday like 3 weeks ago for people are catching up.
But it's all good. All good in the hood.
I wonder if people do that, like go back 3 weeks ago to see how wrong our predictions were and stuff like that, yeah. Turns out we're not signing Sully Kai Kai, whatever his name is, from Palace. That's a rumour that's just come out. Joining the two of us here in the studio is Mark Newby. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good, mate. And just as a rule of thumb, we're always wrong.
We are always wrong. Now, I know, as I've said over the weeks, Mark, that you really, because you're a chef, obviously, by trade, and I've always said you don't have to bring food. I mean, this is the first week you haven't brought food, and I just sort of... I'm just wondering if maybe I should retract that. Because I'm hungry now.
No, I saw
the sight of you makes me hungry. It's like Pavlov's dog.
Oh.
No, I saw what the boys did this week and I thought, I can't compete with that anymore.
Right, yeah, well, and that come dine with me or whatever it was.
It looks awful.
Yeah, but more on that later if we get time. Right, on tonight's show, a packed big match preview for you this evening. We're going to hear from Carl Robinson throughout the show. First of all, he's going to be giving us the latest on the takeover and the possibility of more players leaving the club. We're also going to hear from Card, the Coalition Against Renan du Châtelet. Clive Harris, a Card representative, I spoke to him on the phone about an hour ago. They've been busy this week, obviously, announcing what was going to be a rally to try and get some answers out of Richard Murray, the director here at the club on Saturday. That's now been cancelled because Richard Murray has in fact agreed to meet with the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust, which is part of Card. So we're going to hear from Clive Harris, find out what Card's stance is at the moment. Nicky Ajoze, that's his name. Carl Robinson's going to tell us about Nicky Ajoze. He's sort of come back on loan from Bury, which is bad news after my awkward handshake that I discussed on Sunday's show. But good news for my awkwardness is that he's not actually going to be playing by the split. We're going to hear from Ben Reeves after last Saturday's win up at Bury. And then, of course, look ahead to this Saturday's game with Walsall. But first things first, like I said, it's time to hear from Carl Robinson. He's going to give us the latest, what he knows about the takeover, and also is there potential for any more players to be leaving here to add to Roland's bank balance.
But what about others leaving?
I'm not the man to answer that. I've not had no contact. I think I've tried to conduct myself. It's getting harder and harder to conduct myself in the right way. My main concern is my players and the club that I manage. I'm trying to do a job where there's a bridge to be built between one island and another. And whilst we're crossing that bridge, there's obviously going to be difficulties along the way. And I'm trying to conduct myself in a very clear-minded way. So when we arrive at our destination, we're in a place to go forward. So I don't get involved in any of the melee underneath me in the water. That's for the sharks to fight each other. And we'll just keep working. And if we're needed, we're here. We don't want anyone to be sold, obviously. But that's not my title doesn't allow that to materialise. And that's as honest and as clear as it can be.
We're expecting a statement from board member Richard Murray regarding the consortium's interest in taking control of Charlton. Are you any the wiser?
I don't think any of us are any the wiser. What I can say over the months I've spent here, a lot of arguments that have been going on, a lot of debates have been going on. Richard Murray's always been the one fighting for where we've been in some ways, and being a constant in that. And it's one of them situations where There's only the owner that can answer that question. At the end of the day, he owns the football club, and he'll be the one that will determine when and why and how. And we all know he's come out publicly and said the club's for sale. We all know there's consortiums there looking to take over. I don't know the figure at all. That's beyond the realms of my position to talk about what the club's worth. I know what it's worth to the fans. A lot of heartache, a lot of desire, and many years of ups and downs, but the constant is the love for the football club. So we all have to be patience is difficult when there's been times of difficulty. I think people have seen a light at the end of the tunnel in their view, or even the only view of light at the end of the tunnel to get rid of the football club. But there's so many more obstacles. It's not like just going to get something that we normally buy. You're buying a football club, and when you understand from the community perspective to from the under sevens right the way through to the first team, the operation at the Valley, the operation here at the training ground, there's many operations and due diligence that has to be done, that has to be taken care of. I don't know what they are, but I can imagine I'm in this world where I know how big it is, and I've been led to believe that people are speaking to the owner, he's speaking to people, and that's the way it is. My concern is it's in the middle of January, and he knows that I want to bring in players, and that's the truth, and that's all I know.
Do you know how many consortium are involved?
No, only what you guys write. Was it four? Was the last count? I don't really know who they are. Obviously, there's been stories of people coming to the games and so on and so forth. I've seen people being shown round here. There's been one or two people being shown round that we know have been with sort of senior members of the board that are left, if we have anybody. So you see people walking around. They're paying an awful lot of attention to things that normal people wouldn't look at. So I'd imagine that people have been here, they've walked around here, they've looked at it, they've assessed the situation. But as names, I don't have a clue.
Well, Carl doesn't have a clue then. So, I mean, it sounds like it doesn't sound like anything's particularly imminent on that whole takeover front, which is getting more and more frustrating now because, you know, the days of January are running out.
Yeah. But, you know, when it all started, we sort of knew it probably wasn't going to be a quick turnaround, and that's why I've not tried getting my hopes up too much. I've tried sort of laughing at it, really, just because otherwise I'll just send myself insane by, you know, being frustrated with it. So, you know, until it's all official, I'm not really going to pay too much attention because no one knows, not even Cole knows. So if it happens, it happens. You know, of course I want it to happen, but I'm expecting the worst at the moment, so, and everything else a little Brucey bonus, but hopefully it comes off, but I'm not holding my hopes up.
Well, hopefully you are, you just said. Mark, I mean, obviously we've seen the transfer situation with Ricky Holmes last week, and the way that Carl was clearly upset that he wasn't going to get any of that money to reinvest within the squad, even in part of a sort of a player swap deal. Now, obviously we're expecting Ezri Konsa at some point this month to go as well. Richard Cawley tweeting that Brighton perhaps have entered the race for his signature today, £4 million worth of Ezri Konsa. I mean, do you think that it's pretty... I mean, we're probably expecting it's going to be the same situation, isn't it? The player's going to go, no one's going to come in to replace him.
Yeah, and it's a difficult one because I think Konsa's slightly, you know, less replaceable than Holmes is in a way, because I just think of his versatility of where he can play and the potential of his future. I mean, I'd love him to stay at least at the end of the season. But I think if he goes to Brighton, they'd probably be most likely to stick him in their team. I can't... Everton's a bit of a weird one. You know, they've just spent £48 million on two players. And now they're going to spend another £4 million on someone who's just going to sit on the bench or not even make the bench. So, I mean, it'd be sad if Konsa goes. But that'd be the one I'd really hope didn't go through.
Yeah. What do you make of Carl's frustrations, Nath, over the last... I mean, clear frustrations now over the last few weeks. He sort of said You know, he's doing his best in the circumstances, but he's like I say, he's not hidden how upset he is with the way things are going at the moment. I mean, he revealed today that he's only spoken to the owner, I think, once or twice in the last, you know, month, and that it was a text and an email. He doesn't deal with the owner, even though when Katrine resigned, Roland said he was going to take a more hands-on, you know, method before. I mean, if that's what he's doing now, was he like beforehand? Was he like just hiding in an igloo in Siberia or something? Because I mean, we never. This is his version of hands-on, and Carl's effectively, it seems, running the club on his own at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And I do feel sorry for Carl, because, you know, he's trying his utmost, because I think we all know we're not actually, even though we're top six, which is we're only there due to the start that we had, and I think we're not that far away of you know, going on a good run, and we all know where we're weak in areas. It's not like he's asking for another 6-7 players just to be greedy when everyone's fit. We all know what we need, and he knows how close we are, and we just know that. Well, he knows that he's not going to get it, and it's. I feel sorry for him, because, like you say, you know, he's more or less doing like the PR at the moment. He's doing the managing. So, but all he can do is do his job and what he's in control of, and is win football matches, and then hopefully everything else takes care of itself.
Do you think, I mean, would you make of the job he's done over the last few weeks?
Well, as I remember Nathan, I feel sorry for him, because he just seems to be doing everything. You know, I think if you look out on a pitch now, he's probably giving it a quick mow. but, you know, you shouldn't be surprised, because Roland doesn't care about us. He's not cared about us. You know, he made such stupid decisions in the last 3 years. He's not going to suddenly go, you know what, I'm going to pull my finger out and try and do this quickly. Because he doesn't care. And yeah. When you don't care like that... I mean, I think with Carl, if he can keep the team going, which is going to be his number one priority, and say try it doesn't affect them, I mean, that's all he can do, really, at the bottom line. That's all, the only thing he can affect is the team.
So. Yeah, right. And I mean, about Roland, seemingly not caring. I mean, that's certainly the way... I mean, he's just looking at this... I mean, he doesn't care that the squad's being dead, you know, losing out here. And like I said, we're in such a good position now to push in for the playoffs in the second half of this season. We could still be done with the players we've got, but it's going to be one hell of a struggle.
He doesn't understand football. I mean, that's the bottom of line of it. He just doesn't understand. You know, he thinks we'd rather just come here and go dancing. And he doesn't understand the passion. He doesn't understand the history. He doesn't understand the culture, for want of a better word, that football has connected to it. You know, I've got this theory, when it's all said and done, he's going to like unveil like a Scooby-Doo villain. He's going to pull his old man mask off. It's going to be Tom and Dresden underneath it. You know,
he doesn't, not only does he not care, it's like he's selling his toy. He doesn't care, you know. He's going to have a new toy to play with. This is his old toy that he's going to sell.
He's bored of those pesky you know, supporters.
It's like him getting an old school 1980s Barbie doll and just sort of pimping it up a little bit or whatever. Like he's not going to do it anymore. This is past him. He just wants to get rid of it.
And then he's breaking a leg off it and then trying to sell it. Yeah. And then breaking an arm off it.
It's like that film Toy Story where they had all like the bits and bobs, isn't there?
So I guess plenty of Charlton fans will be hoping that he does dance soon and foxtrot Oscar. Right, let's move on now. Obviously, part of the build up to this weekend's game has been involved with Card. Now, they announced during the week that they were going to have a protest rally outside the West Stand at 2:15 on Saturday to demand answers from director Richard Murray. Now, of course, Richard Murray at the start of the Roland tenure said he was going to sort of be the voice of the board, you know, interact with the fans, which he's been good at throughout the years. You know, I remember he used to put on the coaches for us. I remember at Middlesbrough he came out and applauded the fans for travelling up to Operation Riverside, and we applauded him back. So he has been good at that throughout the years, but now people will probably say over the last 4 years, you know, I mean, what could he say, really? There's not much he can come out and say when you're not in charge. You're not the one making these decisions now. I mean, people were saying maybe there should be more resistance inside, and we don't really know. But so he's been the target for Card this week now. So let's hear. I spoke to Clive Harris from Card, because of course Richard Murray's now agreed to have a meeting with the Supporters Trust on Saturday instead, which is part of Card. So the rally's been called off now, so don't rock up at 2:15 because there'll be no one there. but anyway, I wanted to find out what Card's latest is, so I spoke to Clive Harris earlier on this evening. Joining us now on Charlton Live is Card representative Clive Harris. Good evening, Clive. How you doing?
Very well, Lee. Good evening to you.
Thank you for coming on tonight's Charlton Live. Now, of course, Card have been very busy this week, as it has been for the last couple of years, really. But this week, they've been back in the headlines. They started arranging sort of a protest rally for Saturday to demand answers from Richard Murray. But since that was put out there, Richard Murray has agreed to meet with the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust, which is part of CARD, of course, on Saturday. So the rally's been called off, but this this meeting between a couple of representatives from the Trust and Richard Murray, director here at Charlton, of course, is going to go ahead. So I think fans might be interested to know sort of what assurances you're seeking from Richard Murray in this meeting on Saturday.
Well, to be honest with you, I think anything is better than nothing, and it was just getting ridiculous. It's now almost 4 years since Richard, who, you know, in his time has been a great stalwart for the club, has done a lot for us, but it's been nearly 4 years since he said that he was going to be the go-between, the ownership and the supporters base, and, you know, that's just not happened. And we can understand to a degree that when we had the chief exec in place, Katrine in place, that might have been hampered. But since she's left, there's absolutely no reason for him not to be speaking to the supporters, because we find ourselves in the state of limbo that we're currently in. And it became very apparent to us that it wasn't only the supporters that were asking questions. You know, it was right across from sort of club employees down to the manager that not many people were happy with the situation we found ourselves in. So we felt we needed to act fast. And, you know, one of the real reasons that we called any sort of action was to try and get something from Richard to come and speak to us, or to indeed to the Trust, is exactly what and how it's played out.
Now, obviously, one of the main issues at the moment that the manager's been talking about is the transfer situation. And we found out last Saturday that about Renan du Châtelet blocking the Sheffield United player Carruthers coming in part of exchange for Ricky Holmes. Of course, there's the Ezri Konsa transfer that's been reported about that may well be going through to Everton, £4 million sort of quoted there. Is the transfer situation one of the main things that you're worried about right now?
Oh, it's hugely frustrating. I mean, we're realists, so we don't expect the guy who now publicly has admitted that and offered up that the club is for sale. We don't expect him to be signing us, you know, striker after striker in the transfer window. But the club's sitting sixth, and there is still an outside chance of promotion this season. And to almost have an embargo on any money being spent and start to asset strip. And worryingly, this is something that we saw with Standard Liège, isn't it, when he owned there. And we were warned of it by the Standard Liège supporters at the time. So when you see it, it's almost like a slow-motion car crash in front of you, the way the club's going, enough was enough. And, you know, we just need to know what's going on, because it's not only is it not fair on the supporters, whether they go every week and back their side, or whether they, you know, they get really hands-on with the protests or they're boycotting. It's also unfair on the team and the manager. It's a ridiculous situation we find ourselves in.
And what sort of assurances are you hoping to get from Richard Murray? And I guess a second part of that question is he the right man to give it to you? Because, of course, it feels from you know, from the outside looking in, it feels like Roland is the one who's making these decisions about, you know, the transfer situation. That, so do you think Richard will be able to give you sort of what you hope for this Saturday?
Again, we've got to be realistic. We don't expect any details on the finances of the club or ongoing negotiations, but we need more of an acknowledgement that, you know, this club is for sale and it's moving forward, and there is a chance that we are going to have under new ownership before too long. And whilst that's in place, we also need that there's some sort of commitment to the current side as it's set up, you know, on the pitch, that will give us every chance of getting back to the Championship, which is, you know, the situation that Roland found himself in when he bought the club in the first place, and there's been nothing but backward steps ever since. I think the main thing is that we needed to force some sort of dialogue, and we've done that. But we should, you know, let's be really upfront and honest about this. The protests have not gone away. And the protests, as far as we're concerned, can continue as and when we wish them to continue. And that's to put pressure on what is our ultimate aim, is to rid the club of Roland du Châtelet. And if that means doing that at home, or actually in Belgium, then so be it. Because we're just not going to roll over and take the club in the current situation it is.
And do you think there's anything you can do to try and achieve some very short-term success in this January transfer window to try and change Roland's mind in any way?
That's very difficult, isn't it? But I know that the answer is not to do nothing and just trust the situation as it is, because I just have no faith in the current setup. And, you know, we need to give Carl Robinson every support we can in this. That's why when we talked about putting on this protest, is a strong word, there's certainly a show of strength and a show of dissatisfaction demanding answers. It was decided not to do it, to interrupt at this stage, to interrupt with anything happening on the pitch. I personally don't believe that the protests have any impact on the players and the team, and I think that's proven out by results in the main. But it was felt that we needed to try and judge the current feelings across a wide supporter base, and in this case what we needed was some form of dialogue. We weren't expecting answers to every question we put. That's fairly unreasonable, but you know, that seems to have been, we have forced the issue to a degree, because now he is going to sit down and meet with representatives, say, of the trust, who in turn have links with CARD, because we sometimes forget CARD is a coalition against Roland de Châtelet, and when you have a coalition, you have quite a lot of different views, and it's a broad spectrum of addicts from very different backgrounds that make up CARD. And so, in a way, I feel that we've managed to get him to the table, and that's the first step, but it's certainly not the end of it.
And there was some complimentary words about the way that CARD have acted today from the manager, Carl Robinson, so I guess that, in a way, must please you.
I think, yes, it absolutely does. And, you know, I have remained going. I mean, I have a respect for anyone who feels they can no longer support the club. They feel so disconnected that they stay away, in the same way that I completely understand people who continue to visit, support the club home and away. I mean, I would shy away from buying a season ticket in advance, but I still go every week. I want the best. I'm a Charlton fan, Louis. I want my club to win every game. I never want to see Charlton lose. So I to see the manager now almost associating himself with the supporters base, I think can only be a positive. And we can be, if we want to be, the 12th man. And it doesn't take great journalism to work out that Carl Robinson's not happy with the current situation he finds himself in. So if we can help him in any way with that, we certainly will.
And finally, as Charlton fans, I guess we're sort of feeling like the end might be in sight for Roland, although it is dragging on a bit. So what happens now for CARD while we're just trying to get over this finishing line? What's the final sort of ideas that CARD have got coming up?
Well, I'm happy to say, every process we've done has shown some sort of initiative. Sort of, it's not just straightforward shouting and hollering. We'll continue to put that pressure up until he's gone. The only end game for CARD is the removal of Roland de Châtelet from our club. It says it, in our name when we set up as a coalition of people. So until he's gone, we won't just sit down on our sort of rest on our laurels and think the job's done. It's not done yet. It's close. And in the same way that we work with all the other protest groups as well, because, Belgian 20 and Rot and War and everyone else has come out of this, we all share the same aim, and that is to rid our club of Roland de Châtelet, and the sooner we do it, the better. But when I first walked into or volunteered my services for this, the main thing is that I was here before he got here, and I'll be here long after he's gone. And I think Charlton fans are showing that we can see this out, but we will win in the end.
Man on clock, does really well as well to do so.
Gets to the corner.
Now he's on to take on Buchanan, keeping the ball. Lovely ball into Konza to the touchline. Konza, reverse ball, back to Forster Kaske!
Yeah,
and
there's
the third! And it's game over and 3 points for Charlton.
Welcome back, Charlton Live, here on Maritime Radio. Just heard there from Clive Harris, the CARD representative. So we know that, like we said, the planned rally now is off for Saturday. The Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust, a couple of members of them, are going to sit down with Director Richard Murray. Now, so I said it to Clive, I mean, in a way, I'm not really sure what we're hoping to get from this, because I just don't know that Richard's going to be able to say that much, because I know what we want is Richard's going to be able to turn around and say, well, actually, yeah, we're going to get that £2 million. But we know, unfortunately, he's not going to be able to say that. But some sort of dialogue is important at this time, and that's why I think this is a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like Clive said, I mean, anything's better than nothing. I think what everyone's doing at the moment is feeding on scraps, really, from Twitter and forums and hearsay and who saw what and who knows, who thinks they know what's going on. And so I think, yeah, like you say, something official. obviously we're not expecting Richard to come out and say, oh, it's John Smith buying it for X amount, this date it will happen. That's not going to happen. But like Clive said, I think anything that's official is might relax a couple of people. It's not the, you know, it's not going to be solved on Saturday, but like you say, any dialogue is it's more than what we've done in previous years for sure. So it's a step in the right direction, but we'll just have to wait and see what Richard says.
Yeah, I guess, you know, with the frustrations that we're seeing from Carl Robinson and from the supporter base about this, you know, this transfer situation in particular in the short term, and also, you know, the fact that Roland's still here, it's dragging on a bit in the long term. Clive said it himself, I guess, you know, Calderfoot, you can't just sit back and do nothing. You have to try and do something, even if it is just try and get some sort of dialogue with, you know, with Richard Murray, a man who over the years has you know, he's got his knockers over the last few years, certainly, but, you know, in history, he has done a lot for this club as well.
He has. I mean, I think what all he'll really say on Saturday is how much backing he's given the manager currently. I mean, like you say, there's not a lot he could probably say about any takeover. You know, as a businessman, he knows, you know, things can change any day. And so it can happen, it can not happen. All I think is that this, you know, the protest has been delayed for 2 weeks. I think there'll probably be more of a protest because I can't see anything in the next 2 weeks after Saturday. I really can't. And I don't think there's anything he can say to Cast which is going to allay people's fears. And I don't see what he can say apart from saying, look, I'm supporting Carl at the moment. You know, I'm talking to him daily. We're seeing what we can do. We're trying to make deals to get some temporaries in, some loan players. But there's nothing else he could probably say which probably would be acceptable.
I guess there, like I say, that feeling of helplessness at the moment. With the, you know, can the fans change Roland's mind? But there, at the same time, there was a lot of people who were gearing up to be part of that car park protest. I mean, you know, over the years, I don't think Charlton fans are ever gonna sit down and be quiet. I mean, I speak to Terry a few years ago. He talked about how, you know, when the protest was first boiling up, and he was telling me that he told Katrine, like, the reason, you know, Charlton fans are never going to be silent now. After what's happened to them in the past and what they achieved to get back home, you'll never find a silent Charlton fan when something's not right.
No, exactly. And I think for everything that that was done in previous years, for us to get back here, it will never happen that people will just sit here and just take it and not say anything, because a lot of people, obviously I wasn't old enough at the time to influence him, but a lot of people put a lot of money and effort and time into obviously getting us back here. And if it's not being run right, it's not, you know, only a couple of bad results and people are protesting. It's something that's, we've gone down as a club physically and obviously reputationally. So, yeah, I think people are never going to just be quiet, because we have strong values, but we're an honest bunch of set of fans. You know, we're not expecting the world. We're not expecting Champions League football. Might happen. You never know. But yeah,
done it.
Yeah, but that, and I think that's all we're asking for. Yeah.
And Clive there was very realistic with his aims, I think, for what can and could come out of this conversation with Richard Murray on Saturday. I mean, fair to say that Carl probably sort of forced Richard Murray into this with their action throughout the week, and now this sort of dialogue that is going to happen may not have happened without Carl's statement earlier in the week. I mean, last weekend we were promised from Carl Robinson that Richard Murray was going to say something. There was a couple of lines in the piece about Ricky Holmes leaving where Murray stressed a little bit of frustrations about the lack of permanent transfers coming in. But I mean, everyone was still asking, is that it? Even though I was trying to find out if that was it, and people weren't really sure if there was going to be more. So now this seems to be the natural next step now, this meeting. And so Cardiff clearly, in a way, got what they wanted here. They want some more dialogue, and they forced it to come out now in this meeting on Saturday.
Oh, true. I mean, the negativity which has surrounded the protests in the club in the last couple of years is immense. And I think, you know, with Richard Murray's going to be more aware of that than Katrien ever was.
Mm.
I mean, I think she just sort of like almost poo-pooed it and just didn't actually sort of take it as seriously as it was at the time. I mean, the thing is, Carl's come out and said about the impeccable behaviour of the fans.
Yeah, we've got that clip coming up, yeah.
Sorry. Spoilers. And I thought, you know, that's just it. Is, and he's not trying to do it just sort of like to be on our side. I think it's a genuine reaction from him to say, you know what, I've seen what they're going through. Mm. And I'm actually feeling for this club. I mean, he's
feeling it now. Yeah. I mean, so yeah. It's whether people might see it as, oh, he ignored a few warnings when he came and joined the club, or he knew what was going on, but now it's sort of really come back to bite him a bit. Now he's finally coming out a bit more vocal about it. I mean, like I said, I think any manager would have taken the job. No one really, you know, if you're a manager, you want a job. That's what. But now he is seeing the warnings come to life.
He's had a year invested in the club, you know, of his own life, his own time being put into it. And I don't think he's the kind of guy who's just going, you know what, I'm going to walk away from this.
Now, Robbo's an honest manager, and I think that's why I really like him, which I know he's Marmite to some people, but I really like him, because he's honest, he's refreshingly honest in my opinion. And in a way, I know sometimes ex-old addict especially don't really like what he says sometimes, but he only says what he means, and I think it's great, and I think he honestly cares about the club. I don't think it's a persona or something you can just switch off. I don't think you can, and I just think he really thought he could make a difference here, and I don't think he could have envisaged it going down this path in, say, August, September time, but it has, and you can tell by in his voice how frustrated he is. Well, he just wants to do well.
He still speaks fondly about MK Dons, you know, for all the time he spent there. And you're thinking, you know, contrary to his club, but he's still saying, you know what, I had genuine feelings for that club. So he's still going to continue, and I think if he was to leave here, he'd have a genuine feeling about us as well.
Well, let's. Mark mentioned it a few minutes ago. Carl was asked about the meeting between the Supporters Trust and Richard Murray during today's press day. This is what he had to say.
Listen, once again, from the protest perspective, they've it's been official, it's been responded to, and in a classy way, it's gone right. Okay, we'll do it the right way then. What is the right way? You don't know what the right way is. Nobody knows what the right way is. Even I don't know what the right way is at the moment. Don't know. But I think Rich has obviously come out and he wants to speak to people on a one-to-one. I think people get the point across so much more when it's in a lot calmer environment. But again, the fans have conducted themselves in an impeccable manner, and let's just continue in that way. Because, like I say, but again, there would have been no problems with it. It would have been very controlled, and we would have dealt with it, and we would have tried to win the game anyway.
So yeah, that's what Carl had to say. So obviously talking about the way, people do, but personally for me, I don't think you can really question the way Cardiff. I mean, not everyone's agreed with every single protest or every single action from Cardiff, but as a campaign over the last couple of years, you know, it's been professional. You know, they actually have a media department that I could go to today to try and set up this interview that I had with Clive. Yeah. You know, the way they advertise themselves, the way they go about decision making. You know, in terms of a campaign, like say the Valley Party campaign back in the day was quite impressive, and this is just as impressive, really. Obviously, maybe not quite as big logistically in terms of getting into a local election, but yeah, in terms of a campaign that's been run, got its message out there. I mean, you speak to anyone who knows anything about football and say Charlton, and they know what they know about it is Card's message. They go protests, this and that, problems with the owner.
Yeah,
because they've done well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good thing about Card is that they're consistent. So they have obviously they decide on a plan, and it's well communicated with everyone. There's no. It's just so concise in how they do it and how everything's done, like all the process they've done. Like Cole said, that it's been impeccable. There's no trouble. It's all been, you know, been planned properly. And like you say, everyone knows about them. When obviously a couple of years ago we were on the telly and they all knew about the pigs and the taxis and all that sort of stuff. You can't really say much more. You only wish that the last 2 years it was dealt with, you know, our communication side, not obviously all of the communications, but from certain people, was dealt in a similar manner, and then we probably wouldn't be in half the situation anyway. But, yeah, I mean, they've called it off now, and they've forced Richard's hand, and, yeah, hopefully we can get some good news out of it, or something at least.
Tone tweets in saying, I feel that Charlton Cardiff and the Belgian 20 have been incredible in the way that they have worked. Extremely professional process. This goes a long way in attracting positive media attention. Well done to all. Then we had a tweet in a few minutes ago from Valley Voice. It says, I really can't see Richard Murray will be able to give much clarity as Roland would have prepped Richard Murray as to what he can reveal unless it's a done deal with a takeover. And I guess that is perhaps a worry that, you know, it's great to have the dialogue. What comes out of it, we don't know. We'll find out after the weekend. Hopefully I'll try and get hold of someone for Sunday show if I can, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, I'm going to make hashtag Oliver Kay cry.
overlap and chooses to use him. Holmes uses him decoy. Crosses now in towards McInnes. Ooh. Headed away. No, it's come to Fosu in the penalty area. Fosu, little step over. Fosu onto his left foot. Tariq Fosu still.
Yes! 2-1 Charlton. Oh, what a finish.
Tariq Fosu, great work to come inside onto his left foot. Couple of step overs, worked a bit of space. His reverse shot past Cairns and Charlton are back ahead.
Welcome back to Channel Live here on Maritime Radio. As I mentioned just before the break, now we got some news about Nicky Adjose, which is hashtag Oliver Kay's favourite player. It's one of the questions that people have been asking us a lot recently. Oh, why? What's going on with Adjose and Vetekele? Why can't we call them back? All this, and I was sort of saying over the last few weeks, you know, don't forget, you know, just because they're our player alone, bringing them here back doesn't make it free. You still have to pay wages. So I was slightly surprised when I saw that Adjose was back today. Although he's not really back now. If you listen to the conversation, this is what Carl Robinson had to say about Nicky Adjose.
Well, Betty didn't want him. They're still paying his wages, I believe. He's back training this week and maybe next week. While we decide what is the future for him. And that's it, really.
So the decision doesn't have to be made until, like, if he can play on Saturday for Cheltenham?
He won't play Saturday.
No, okay. And how long will you make that decision?
I've already made it, really, in some ways, and he knows that.
All right, okay. And just with the striker situation, obviously, Josh McGuinness is the only senior striker at the club. Hasn't really had a proper rest in about 6 months.
No, he's knackered.
Think about it. So how important is it?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, you know, bring in a striker, if that is Nicky or someone else.
Remember, all these players had an opportunity to stay at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So, decisions were made when my plate was clean. And every slate was clean. Because people thought pastures new or the grass was greener.
Yeah, so no clean slate in January, midway through the season.
I'm honest with them. They know where they all stand. So he has to work hard. And people have to prove themselves to me now.
Yeah.
So where is it was like, go on, here we go. Now there's bridges to be rebuilt. So, and I'm not willing to help build them.
Yeah.
So that's, but again, from a humanistic perspective, you have to show respect. And I will show respect always. Always. I don't ever come away from that. Okay, yeah, I do things in the heat of the moment. Sometimes you look back, but then I almost apologise immediately if I disrespected somebody. But that's the way the end. I mean, you say that obviously we need to strike her. I could have told you that on the 31st of August.
Ooh, imagine if it was like, yeah. Imagine you're in an office, like, and you thought, here you go, I'm off on some comments. So just on the way out, you slap the boss on the face or something. Not that Nicky Adjose did that, but I mean, it must be so awkward coming back when you've burnt your bridges. And I mean, Carl did not sound impressed with Nicky Adjose there.
it was just those moments of silence was quite what's the word? Telling. Shall I say, it just seemed a bit awkward, but I agree with him in a way. I think Nicky had his chance, Whether or not he works hard enough and puts himself back into Cole's plan, that remains to be seen. But
he's going to have to work really hard right. because, I mean, the important thing to note there is Bury is still paying his wages and they don't even want him. But the fact that the ball's in our court, we don't have to recall him. So the second we recall him, then we have to pay his wages. As long as we don't, then Bury are paying his wages.
Yeah. I don't know how many clubs are you allowed to play for in a year. Is it two or three? Because he might not be allowed to play for another club now anyway, because he's played for two already. So I don't know. It might be two or three.
Can you play for us?
No, he actually hasn't played, so he could still play for it.
So he can go somewhere.
I mean, Richard did tweet that during the week that if he came back, he'd go out again. So that's what I think he's talking about in terms of his future. I mean, like I say, I mean, he never set the world on fire while he was here, Nicky Adjose. I'll say, the weird thing, someone tweeted me, so I was sat right behind him at Bury on Saturday, and someone tweeted me again, so who did it look like he was supporting? And this, genuinely, he seemed to be supporting both teams, because whenever anyone went through on goal, he was really excited. I think it's because he's obviously mates with Josh McGuinness, but at the same time mates with the Bury striker as well. He just wanted him to score goals. But
I mean, you're thinking about, we bought him because he'd scored 24 goals in 38 games. And, you know, you don't sort
one of season, lose, one season wonder.
One season wonder, but it's still a lot of goals.
And yeah, it's a one season wonder.
But it's still something we've been short of. And I know Carl's saying, you know, I'm not going to take him back, and I understand that for whatever reasons, but, you know, sometimes cutting off your nose to spite your face. If you're thinking, if Big Josh gets injured, we've got Mavidi, Rico, and Cag.
I think Jose is, in my opinion, is someone who plays in a two, not a one, which we seem to play. We've tried playing him out wide, and he hasn't got the work rate for it.
We've been playing a lot of nils recently as well.
But even if he did, he's obviously back now. I think it would show a lot of disrespect, in my opinion, to Rico and Carlin. You know, Carlin's injured. If he just goes straight into the squad, because those guys have stayed and grafted. He jumped ship in the summer, like Cole said. Everyone had a clean slate. He didn't have to go. He chose to go back to Bury, where he was comfortable and where he wanted to do. Now they're bottom of the league and he just wants to jump back in with us. That's fine, but he's got to work hard. But I think, Mark's got a good point. He's obviously got the pedigree, but he doesn't apply himself enough consistently to, in my opinion, play in a team. Definitely a one up front anyway. Mm. Unless he builds his work rate up and plays as a winger. But, nah.
Alex tweets in, regardless of whether a Jose and Igor come back and play for Charlton, we need to get a goal scorer in if we're going to push on and cement our place in the playoffs. And I think, 100%. It almost goes without saying, but you're just looking at going, because obviously it's going to have to be a loan. Is there anyone good enough? And that's why the question about Jose will come up.
Well, there's one player good enough, but we couldn't afford him. He's currently not even making a bench at Derby.
Darren Bent.
Mm.
He's got an incredible goal record at Derby. They were celebrating his however many years at the club the other day, his birthday or something. I couldn't believe his goal record starts.
Yeah, they don't fancy him.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think he's probably too expensive for us. You're right to say that. He'd be a very expensive signing. And Mendonca's right foot on the card and the protests and all that stuff. It says this is a football club that's being sold, not a second-hand bike off eBay. It's going to take time, and old Rowley isn't going to make it easy, no matter how many more protests there are. Right, just before we go into the Ben Reeves interview, while we've been on air, a few people have directed us towards the HITC story, linking us with Sully Kaikai. I think he's a winger at Palace. Now, I, again, you never know with HITC, sometimes they get stuff that isn't quite as locked on and they put it out there as a possible, but this one they're saying a bit more locked on. So, Too early to confirm. And apparently, David Jarvis just said Darren Bent's out injured this season, Mark. So I haven't seen that. Whether it's locked on, but I know very little about him. The only thing I know is one of the Palace writers for South London Press always raves about how good he is. So if he's coming, do you know much about him, though?
Well, I believe it or not, I text me brother, who's a Palace fan, unfortunately.
There we go.
I've got Palace.
Not Freddie Saunders, is it?
No, Freddie. No, he's not my brother. But but no, I spoke to him and he said, he's rated highly, but he can be a bit inconsistent. But he's good at dead balls. He's a tricky winger. He's strong. He's a winger. He's surprised a few more Championship clubs ain't really knocking about. But it is what it is. It's another body in that could, not saying replace Holmes, but it's another body. But again, we still know what we need, and we haven't got that yet. So, but like I said, it's another body, something different. He's quite direct, so we'll just have to wait and see how it pans out. But usually the guy, I see, he's the guy, there's a journalist who's usually quite accurate with it.
Yeah, excellent. Right, okay, let's hear from Ben Reeves now. We caught up with him after the 1-0 win at Bury on Saturday, talking about the game, talking about the fact that Ricky Holmes had just left, and what he hopes for to achieve within the rest of the season.
Ben, back-to-back wins in what must be difficult circumstances for everybody associated with the club. You must be delighted.
Yeah, it's important for us. Make sure we concentrate on what goes on the pitch on the Saturday. Yeah, it's a great feeling to be back to winning ways.
And your own, of course, contribution. You're getting more game time now after coming back from injury again. You must be really pleased with that.
Yeah, I am. I was disappointed in myself. Last home game in the league, I don't think I was nowhere near my normal standard. Rightly so, I didn't play the next game, and then sort of give me a wake-up call, and thought I'm back to it today, and hopefully can stay that way, and that's the minimum today again.
Had a number of players having to step up to the mark because injuries and squad size, we're being really stretched. So the players that are out there, the players that are left, showing real character.
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance from the boys as well. And like I say, if you were to look at that team, you wouldn't know that there were players, one or two were filling in or maybe weren't regular. So it was a good performance from all the boys, I thought.
And the mood in the camp, obviously, it looks like we're going to lose certainly one player, and who knows what's going to happen the rest of the transfer window. Is the mood in the dressing room now a determined mood?
Yeah, especially after that win. I think it shows what we can do. Tough place to come, away from home as well, and yeah, great character from the boys and good performance. I think it just shows that we're all concentrating on what goes on the pitch. And we've got a few Saturdays now, so it gives us a bit more time to think about the performance on the weekend, and hopefully we can just improve on the one today.
And the win today puts us back into the top six.
Good news.
And with players potentially coming back from injury, signs might be that we've turned a corner potentially.
Yeah, let's hope so, and I think we have. But we need to make sure that it's not just one off or like I say, two games. We need to get a run going now, and like Blackburn did early in the season, we need to do the same. I know it's good that we're back in the playoffs, but we don't want to be just in the playoffs. We want to be right up there. So
I was going to ask that question. Do you think we can put a run together that might even get us closer to the top two?
I hope so. So we'll start today and kick on again now. Thank you.
So in terms of that last week being the first win in a little while, does it sort of get the monkey off your back and take a little bit of the pressure off you for a game like today?
I think so, because last week probably wasn't the best performance, but we still grinded out a win. And then today you see a better performance and a win. So like I say, you can only build on that, and hopefully we can.
Been impressed with Steffi Mavadini in the last couple of games, and another great run today. How important is adding a player like him to the squad?
Yeah, he's good to play with. I enjoyed playing with him today. That was the first time we've been on the pitch together, and it was good. Hopefully we can build a relationship with on and off the ball with Jay as well on the left-hand side, and link well together.
So obviously, away from the pitch, a lot of the talk with the fans and stuff has been about the takeover and Carl being unhappy about the current transfer situation. As a squad, how do you sort of keep that away from your thoughts?
If I'm honest, I don't know too much about it, and I assume a couple of the boys probably don't either, because the most important thing for us is to concentrate on the weekend, on the games. Like I say, it's another step for us today was getting back in the playoffs, and the main thing is for us as players is just keep building on that.
Ben, as a player playing in the squad, obviously you're looking at your teammates and everything like that, would you say more players need to come in this month to really consolidate that promotion push?
Well, I think we've got a great squad. Like, you see some of the players that aren't in the team at the moment. Like, you've got Patrick, you've got Jason, both of them were starters. Tariq as well, all three of them starters at the start of the season, and one of the main reasons we were up there. So we've got three players like that coming back, and I'm sure there's others. I don't know if I'm forgetting anyone, but yeah, there's loads of boys, like even Souls and Jake coming back again today. Like, they didn't play today, so there's loads of the boys. You've got Jacko as well, performed well the other day, so there's loads of boys in the squad that can do well for us.
And just those three players that you mentioned, then how big are they going to be coming back next week? Because Carl said they could be back in the squad next week.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant for us. But like I say, the main thing for us is just to stick together as a team now, and whoever plays, make sure we put in the performance and to get the wins.
With Ricky Holmes set to leave the club, obviously he was in the matchday squad today. Were you surprised at his decision to leave at this point in the season?
I don't know the ins and outs really of it all, so I can't really comment on Ricky's choice or whether it's the club's choice or whose choice it was or when it came about, because I know there was offers from them in the summer as well. So I don't know, but it's the main thing for us as a group now. We just need to stick together, and whoever comes in, whoever goes out, just make sure stay as a tight group and get the results.
Yeah, because Ricky had 6 goals and 6 assists this season, and how big a miss will he be for the team?
he's a very good player, obviously, as you said there, and like everyone else knows in the league. When you just need to do that job and chip in all together. Hopefully I'll chip in, Marty chip in, Steffi could chip in as well now. So hopefully the boys, we've got a good enough squad, I think, to deal with it.
With their sights now firmly set on an automatic promotion place, the Addicts' next outing was at St Andrews against Birmingham City.
Donovan showing good pace. He's into the area. Oh, and he got a tap on the ankle there. And the referee has given a penalty. Jonathan Hunt against Mike Salmon. 1-0 to Birmingham. Palmer with the free kick. He's towards Leeburn. The goalkeeper's come out a long way. Oh, and Edwards has put it in. Andy Edwards has scored an own goal to bring it back to one apiece. Another good flick there from Leeburn. Oh, and Kim Grant to the wrong side. He's in on goal, and Kim Grant has scored. Splendid finish from Kim Grant. That really was top-class finishing, and Charlton take the lead. Leeburn getting a challenge in, and Kim Grant sending Bowyer away. There's no flag. Now, can Charlton break here? Robinson's in. Oh, it's a fabulous goal. John Robinson with his fifth goal this season. And that was a classic counter-attack from Charlton. Comes in left-hand side. Leeburn goes in, and that's four. Leeburn has scored for Charlton. And Carl Leeburn looks as if he might be hurt. He went in with the boots for flying. Mortimer sent the cross over from the left-hand side, and Leeburn dived in bravely to get the header in. And Charlton now has what surely is an unassailable lead. Shots come in from Paul, driven in, and a goal. Edwards. Sits up to the side. The drive comes in, and it's a goal. And Charlton have conceded a third goal. It's 4-3 now, and there are just 9 minutes to go. Can Charlton hang on for three valuable points? It's Birmingham City 3, Charlton Athletic 4.
Classic game from back in the day there. That took us back to 1996, a 4-3 win up at Birmingham City that was live on Sky. It might not be in Sky, actually. It was live on TV. It might be an LWT or whoever had the rights back then. But yeah, 4-3 win up at St Andrews. Sadly, we ended up missing out on promotion in the playoffs that year against Palace, which is sad. Oliver tweets in saying, I personally think nobody will be willing to pay a Jose's wages, and then Carl Robinson will recall him. Now, I mean, if that's the case, if no one's willing to pay his wages, I mean, I think we will not be willing to pay those wages as well, and I think we'll leave it as Berry's problem. Whether they take him back after that, that's up to them. But that's just the way I see it, because I think he's on too much money. Carl, clearly not that enamoured with him. Who knows? We also had an email in from Marcus. Says, hi guys, pleased to hear that Hanlon is back at the club. In the games I've watched him, he's been a lively player. A good option to have him coming off the bench. Jose should have been sold, not Ricky. Now, Hanlon's come back from Colchester. It's just interesting. I was just reading something in the Gazette up there, Colchester Gazette, whatever it's called. And some quotes there from a manager or a coach who suggests that Brandon hasn't played as much recently. Says a young man like Brandon needs to play, and there were other clubs interested in him. So just reading that quote makes you wonder, maybe they've got something else lined up, but we don't know. Right, time to look ahead to Saturday's game with Walsall. Of course, the other main story at the moment, other than the fact that we are being taken over, is the fact that all our players are broken. So Carl Robinson gives us the injury update ahead of Saturday's game with Walsall.
On that note, you've had a long injury list. Could some of those players return? Could they be available to you for the Walsall home game?
Yeah. One or two of them are back. One or two of them had a little bit of reoccurrence, a little niggles throughout the course of the week. But we knew that was always going to be the situation in some ways. It's been probably one of my most enjoyable 4 months I've ever had as a manager in a sick way, because all of the comings and goings, all of the adversity that we've had, I don't think many teams have been hit with the amount of injuries that we've been hit with. But we've tried to conduct ourselves in an impeccable way week in, week out, and we try to be honest with you. We have got one or two that will be back this week, and hopefully by the following week we should have most of our squad back fit. So by the time we go to Blackpool and maybe play, is it Oxford and then Bradford, is it? By the time we get into these games, you're looking by the end of January, most of our players should be up and running if we have no injuries that occur over forthcoming weeks. So that's a positive place to be. But I've been sat here before with you when we've been waiting for Reevesy and Marshy to come back, and all of a sudden we had the big injury crisis. But hopefully we're going to be stronger for it. I don't think there's been many people that have sat here and had to go through so many issues that we've gone through over the past 4 weeks or longer than that. And I just hope that people can respect what we're trying to do. And we've constantly tried to conduct ourselves in a very professional manner. From the players and the staff here at Spadders Lane and everybody who works within the football club, we've tried to do the best to try and uphold the football club in the right way. And hopefully that gets the respect that it's deserved.
Can you say who's available to you on Saturday?
Made no illusions that Tariq will be back. He's been on fire all week in training. He was unplayable on Tuesday, so hopefully the little man can weave his magic again. I think he's our leading goal scorer, and he's been out for 12 weeks, so 10 to 12 weeks, so he's obviously been a big loss to us. He's another one that we materialised, that we got through a very sort of strenuous recruitment process in the summer. Somebody, Stevie and everyone at the football club looked at as a start of the future. I think if he would have been playing, I think in some ways he would probably been for sale in January as well. But maybe we've been lucky with his injuries that he's off people's radar at the moment. But he's certainly going to give us a big impetus. Obviously, Souls, we're just waiting to see Jake. Jake had a little twinge in his hamstring. He shouldn't have even gone anywhere near the pitch. But we were so desperate on Saturday with 5-10 minutes to go. I was saying, listen, Jake, no. And he said, no, get me on the pitch. He said, I don't care. If I get injured, I get injured. He said, but we need to win this. And that was just sort of the mentality in that building. There's such a good group of people in there. I think over the adversity of what happened with Ricky on the Thursday and Friday and what was materialised into Saturday, and then we knew he was going to go probably Sunday. Well, listen, he was at the game on Friday, so it was almost certain that everyone knew then. The group's come together and we've rallied around, and none more so than like Souls and Jake putting the body stupidly at risk at the weekend. But if that's what it takes to play for this football club, we're willing to do it.
Your captain, Chris Sully, he could be available to you on Saturday.
Yeah, he is, yeah. I don't think he likes that behind me. In fact, I know he didn't like it. He was bored after about 5 minutes. He just kept moaning, get me on, I said, well, you're not finished. So it was, I don't think I'll be seeing him too many times sat behind me unless he's injured.
So there you go. It sounds like some good news, some promising news for Saturday. Tariq Fosu back, Chris Sully back. Fosu in particular. I mean, he was an absolute fire. The amount of goals he was getting, he had his hat trick at Fleetwood. I think he ended up scoring about 6 goals in 5 or 6 games around that spell. So to have him back could be huge for us.
Yeah, no, another bit of fresh impetus which we've been after, really, and could be a chance to give Marshall a rest because I think he's been overplayed. I think he should have had a rest a few weeks ago because he started to look like. He was burning out, but then I think it was last week or the week before, he had a decent game. So, I don't know, maybe he'll rotate that a little bit. I think Solly's always good to come back, good steady Eddie. Obviously, it depends on if, I don't know if Bauer's back okay now, or I don't think Pierce is about, is he? But, is Bauer going to come in? Will Lennon get a rest? Because he's had, about a year and a half out, and he's played a lot of games over Christmas. I don't know, but, yeah, T coming in, it gives us that other dimension. With Ricky going, we'll have, if we did play, T and Steffi on either side, you're going to have two players that like running at people, so which defenders don't like. So yeah, hopefully, but obviously I don't want to rush him too much, but obviously they'll know what they're doing.
What sort of difference do you think having the likes of Fosu and Solly back could make for us, Mark?
I think Dixtel's actually done a good job for a young lad. I know it sounds it's a very cliche, but he's athletic and he's going to have to play there sooner or later. Is whether they made a mistake when they brought JFC back just too soon, and there's a part of me which goes, are you, what part of them? Obviously, the medical staff will say, oh yeah, he's fit, but that extra week, because if Solly comes on and does himself in the first 10 minutes, and then that could be him out for the rest of the season. And then then it's another sort of.
In the last few weeks, you feel that might have been. Sort of playing a part of our perpetual injury crisis is the fact that people were coming back slightly too soon, and then aggravating stuff as well. Maybe that happened with Pearcey. I saw him in a brace here a couple of weeks ago after he got injured again. So, that's what you hope to try and avoid. Now it's a Walsall side, sort of a mid-table Walsall side. In terms of our performances over the last couple of weeks. Now no one's going to sit here and say that we blew Oldham away when we beat them 1-0. But last week went up to, admittedly a poor Bury side, but we were much the better side. Only took one chance You know, Big Josh will feel like he perhaps should have had a couple of goals on Saturday. And Carl mentioned there that perhaps he needs a rest now. But I mean, does he get a rest this weekend? Is there a
no.
different option?
No? Yeah, you have to play McGuinness because of what he does defensively as well. And you know, I know you're going to say, you know, what's your prediction for Saturday? And you're going to accuse me of madness. I think we're going to tonk them, and we're going to tonk them 4-0. I think Josh is going to score. I've had this feeling all week that we were just going to put three
I'm
or
sure
four.
It wasn't gas.
Who's going to score first?
The wind. We are.
No, what player? Josh, I'll put that as a cashback.
I think Josh is going to score first, and we're going to win 4-0.
Yeah, McGuinness is the cashback this week.
That's a cashback bet. That's good, because we were thinking about putting it to vote, but Twitter's just gone down anyway.
The Garmy chef has spoken.
Yeah. There we go. All right, so imagine if he wins us £1 million for the upbeats, because with his outrageous
tip. He's doing the odds of £1 million to £1.
It's £2.50.
Oh, yeah, it's
£500,000. Nathan, now we're on to prediction. Let's have your one for Saturday.
Well, they had a good win against Oxford, so I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And in terms of, like I say, McGuinness, I mean,
you can start Rico, but I don't think he's going to do him any good. I mean, you're going to have to play him. There's no other, really, unless you put Naby up there, but we've seen he's finishing in recent weeks. So.
Does Sonny Kaikai get straight into the lineup for you?
No.
We can't play rumours, can you?
No. But no, yeah, he's got to play, but he shouldn't be, because he looks like he's blowing. But what else can you do until we get someone else to a given hand? Can't do much more.
Excellent. Right, this is time's up, really, on the show. Just want to say, actually, Nath, you got your birthday coming up over the weekend.
Monday, Sunday.
You celebrate the way you've always wanted to, with a 1-0 home win over Walsall.
Yep. Yeah. 21st on Monday, it is, or 21.
21st anniversary of his 30th birthday on Monday. Looking forward to it.
Nathan thought his nose couldn't get any bigger.
Nathan, thanks for joining us.
No worries. Cheers,
Mark
fellas.
Newry, thanks for being here this evening.
You're welcome.
We'll be back on Sunday to look back at whatever happens against Walsall, and of course talk about the takeover whenever that happens. I've been Louis Mendes. This has been the Big Match Preview. Like I say, we'll see you on Sunday. Let's hope Charlton can get 3 more points to add to the pot in the League One table on Saturday. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.